Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Once again, for coming into Bard's Logic, political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. And also, I'd like to thank everyone who has come on either live tonight or through the archives. And if you've come live, thank you if you're in the chat or coming from Blog Talk Radio or from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. And also, speaking of the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, you can find on the Get Involved page a link to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. And for only $50 a year, you can sponsor, and this would be a great gift for a spouse or a child or a friend, in which you can sponsor an orphaned baby elephant whose parents were killed in Africa. I actually have an article here I may get to tonight, hopefully, about, actually it was something my daughter brought home from school as they're reading about current events across the globe, and one of those are talking about the ivory wars in Africa and talking about the possible extinction of elephants if that kind of activity would continue. And so if you could go to the Get Involved page of the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, which you can get to the website via the Bard's Logic Political Talk Blog Talk Radio homepage, or you could just go to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And also, I'd like to point out another website for folks to check out is the patriotjournalist.com. And also, you could find Bard's Logic Political Talk on the Patriot Journalist from Facebook. Just go to your search engine on Facebook and just type in Patriot Journalist as one word. And on the website, www.patriotjournalist.com, you can join what is a Twitter team, which they actually have about 70 some odd folks on there, 67 team members, and 108,000 followers. It's a really cool thing to check out, and I suggest folks to do so. And that will bring me to tonight, and we will be discussing the true reasons why Mitt Romney lost, as well as what can conservatives do to prepare for 2014, because the time to organize is now. And so at this time, I will bring on one of our panelists, one you've grown to know well, and that is Chris. And Chris, I am opening up your mic. Thank you very much.
Grown to know. Sounds like a wart.
No, that's something you try to get rid of. You're not something we try to get rid of, Chris.
Yeah. Trust me, every morning I wake up and I try to get rid of myself in this political game.
Yes. Okay.
Wake up going, what is, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to get caught up. I've been busier than crap all day doing multitudes of things, so I didn't have that creative time that I usually mm-hmm. have right before a show where I can read articles and make some notes and get my mind wrapped around the show. I kind of, you know, fell into it.
Well, I've got, you know, if you want, if you got some things you need to wrap up, I've got an African article to read about the elephants, the ivory wars in Africa, about poaching for ivory. There's an article I can read. It was very interesting. My daughter brought it home, actually, as part of a couple other articles that state that they do for their social studies. Hey, at least your social studies class is teaching them something. And one thing, at least, that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the ivory war going over there and killing these creatures. Yeah, they say here that right now there's fewer than 500,000 elephants in the wild today. And if the poaching the way it does, or the way it's going right now, in Africa, and it's big because of China. China loves ivory. That in 15 years, elephants could become extinct, and that's something in my mind would be tragic.
And yeah, well, we better send our military over there and fix Africa now, because they ain't going to fix it. You know, those systems, their whole economic government systems over there are a mess. They're not going to fix it. They're involved in, you know, the crime and corruption. So we need to invade Africa, get coal and bomb.
I do have a phone here. It's a green phone, and it is directly connected to the Obama White House directly. And I believe it has a cell phone line directly to Obama as well. When I see something that needs to be taken care of environmentally, I just call Obama up and say, hey, Barry, you know, we really need to address this. Okay, I'm going to make this disclaimer. I do not have that phone up.
He has no problem spinning them drones. I mean, you know, he's the man.
Well,
you want people taken out. You want dictators overthrown. You want new dictators put in place. I mean, this guy is more of a neocon than any Republican I've known in a long time. It's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, speaking of the military, there have been members of the Congo military that has been caught for poaching ivory. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm surprised. I mean, this isn't a new thing, right? I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about this when I was a kid. It's never stopped. It's going to continue mm-hmm. to go on. Africa's a mess. You know,
yes,
you have to have rule of law and the ability to administer law. I mean, hell, we got rule of law and we can't even protect our own border here.
China's looking to expand their reach, of course, not economically, using this you know, poaching. It's a bribery, it's really. But also, they need trying to find a place for their people to live, because there's just so many of them, and they're so. And I was reading about the environment over there too. But that's something we can discuss, and when we get back to Green Thursdays, which is environmentally themed shows that I want to start getting back to.
We need a world war. We're not going to be able to solve any of this. We need a world war. So.
Well, and maybe with Obama still in office, maybe we can get that, of course. But to the topic is the true reasons why Romney lost.
He should make Stein. I mean, that's Poseidon's daughter, so get Stein in there. She can solve the climate issues, and then we can just focus on wars and taking over countries.
Well, whatever it takes, Chris. but you mentioned something earlier briefly in a discussion we had today. Yes. And I do see there is a caller on Skype. If you would like
Bring
to chime in about anything. Well, they don't have the little button open to show that they want to talk. They might just be calling in to listen. But if you would like to chime in, feel free at any time just to push the 1 on your phone dial, and I will let you in. So if it's hopefully it may be on topic, but if it's something we can digress on a little bit, that is fine. And also I see another caller come in, and I just see you come in. If you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your phone dial, and we will let you in if you want to chime in about tonight's discussion. So
what are we discussing?
As I was about to say, is what we were talking about briefly tonight is your reasons why Romney lost. Many are saying because, Romney was too conservative. We know that's not true. And I've even gotten blamed myself personally for playing a part in Romney's defeat. I was told that in Ohio. I was told it was my fault that Romney lost Ohio because I was informing folks about third parties and in a way supporting third parties. And because I am from Ohio and I am in Ohio, that I cost Romney the election in Ohio, which, if I played a small part in that, I'm just kidding, Chris. But I think one of the biggest.
I was going to tell you to fall on your sword.
I'm not going to fall. Well, I've got a lot of swords, but I'm not planning on falling on any of them. But we did talk some on other nights and others. No, I really do. I got a bunch of swords. But
me too.
Don't
tell anybody.
But I got them strewn all around the house. And I'm not talking about, some displayed, some not, some in strategic locations. But anyway, I digress. Ron Paul, we were talking about the Ron Paul and the Ron Paul movement and how, at least in a lot of minds, and it does make sense, that the Ron Paul movement was pretty instrumental in being a part of Romney's loss. I think Romney lost myself because, he's Romney, and no moderate to liberal Republican has won in a general election in 40 years. That's the main reason why. But that's one of the reasons why I think that moderate Republicans do not win, because independents, libertarian-minded, and, of course, conservative-minded folks do not vote for moderate to liberal Republicans.
Romney, I don't know what Romney is. He's a changeling. He has no stance on anything. I mean, his record shows him to be as liberal or more liberal than Obama. He did cap and trade, gay marriage, paid abortions, Romney Care, massive business increase fees. He ran off businesses and jobs out of Massachusetts. I mean, he's a liberal. I don't understand why people can't understand that. You cannot spend enough money to change the core of who you are. I mean, everybody that ended up supporting this guy, including Krauthammer, what a slime that guy turned out to be. I've got a video of him saying you only get so many flip-flops before your character's in question. And next thing you know, he's singing songs saying Romney is the future of the Republican Party, and Newt and Ron Paul are dead. They have no more power. I'm like going, excuse me? I guess what amazes me is we could talk this until we're blue in the face. Pick any topic. Why do you lose? Because he's a liar. Why do you lose? Because he broke rules and laws, state rules, all the way to the convention, the things he did at the convention, the things that they did to the Paul delegates, the things he did to Newt Gingrich, you know, the money spent on negativity, the suppression of votes, you know, flip-flopping in the same sentence sometimes. I mean, I cannot fathom how anybody thinks he could spend enough money or spend this thing enough to understand he lost because it's him. He didn't lose because of Ron Paul. Yeah, you know, that was a piece of it, but again,
right, that was a piece.
There's a chunk of the conservatives that didn't vote for him that said, enough,
right.
McCain yep. was bad enough. People
were
not
going to vote for the lesser two evils again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they were screaming this from the hilltops through the whole primary. And so a lot of people...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I know one reason why Romney did not cause Romney to lose. I know one reason that did not cause Romney to lose, and it was not because he loved trees in Michigan. It's not because he loved the trees in Michigan.
He loves cars, too. He loves Cadillacs.
Well, now, that could have been.
He loves
lakes. Cars,
he loves lakes.
Not the
he
tree.
Loves people. He loves people. Corporations are people, too. My friend.
Well, speaking of that, I've got an audio clip. I'm going to find it because it's absolutely hilarious. Since we're on that, it's short. It's only about a minute, 6 seconds that I've
you
got to play since we mentioned
the
it.
I agree or the I love one?
The I love one.
I love
here
you.
It is.
Rural history. I was born and raised here. I love this state. It seems right here. Trees are the right height.
I love carpet.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. There's something very special here. The Great Lakes, but also all the little inland lakes that dot the parts of Michigan.
I love desk.
Rick, are you just looking at things in the office and saying that you love them?
I love lamp.
I love cars. I don't know. I mean, I grew up totally in love with cars. It used to be in the 50s and 60s, if you showed me one square foot of almost any part of a car, I could tell you what brand it was, the model, and so forth. Now with all the Japanese cars, I'm not quite so good at it, but I still know the American cars pretty well.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp. I love lamp.
I love cars. I love American cars. And long may they rule the world, let me tell you. I wanted to do well.
Well, and actually, when you talk about long live they rule the world, he's actually wrong in that. Because in one of the articles I was reading tonight that was interesting that my daughter brought home from school, was it has here that in 2009, I guess Romney didn't know this, China overtook the United States as the world's top automobile producer.
Sure.
I guess he didn't know that. I would think, you know, if you're going to make a statement like that and you're running for the president of the United States, that would be something you might do a little research on so you don't sound like a fool when you say it.
Well, Romney, for those of us who have tracked this thing some degree of every part of every day from the beginning of the primary until the election and beyond, and have tracked it. I mean, I've tracked and saved and recorded and, you know, everything that he's ever said and done. he loves the El Salvador Desquad families too, while we're talking about things he loves. That was his 40% of his initial investment money. I mean, you know, he made money on the bailout, you know, from the frickin' bailout money, both in the auto industry and in the money that was passed out, in that $800 billion that they passed out, because he was an investment banking, you know, an investment firm. He got chunks of cash. He's a great guy. Has he moved yet? I heard he was going to move to the Cayman Islands for a while.
Oh, really? No, I thought he kind of dropped off the map, so I'm really not sure. On what
he's probably
Romney
in that
is doing
in mansion in France when he was, you know, where he did his mission work, knocking on doors in France instead of going to Vietnam. Who knows? Who cares? what a man, what a guy. I mean, he just makes me proud to be a Republican. You bet.
Well, if folks are even a Republican, any longer.
I'm being facetious.
Right.
I'm being facetious. He helped make my decision.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. I mean, after seeing what happened, and I think it did. And there, I mean, they angered the base, they angered the youth. You know, they talk all the time how, well, we gotta invigorate the party by putting the youth in the Republican Party. Well, you know, you had all those youth in the Republican Party, and you kind of told them you didn't want them by really.
Then you got mad at them after they left.
Right.
Then you got mad at them after they left. You beat the crap out of them. Hell, we even got cases of broken bones. They work their butts off. They go through the county, you know, through their county up to the state level, become delegates, become state chairs, and then you come behind them after they've been legally elected by their peers in their state, and then you wipe out. I mean, they wiped out 8 states of delegates, Robert. 8.
Mm-hmm. Right.
8. Can you fathom that? That if the Democrats did what he did,
mm-hmm.
it would be 24/7 on Fox News if that would have been Obama doing that in his party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And Fox News was just as big of a part. Hmm?
Disgusting?
Yes. Well, you know, from my understanding, I don't know what it is now, but I heard at least during the primaries, Fox News, or I call it faux news, lost about 17% to 20% of its viewership because of the way they cover the election.
Right, yeah, I heard that in the primary. Wonder what it is now.
Yeah, I'm uncertain. Well, not only what the Republican Party did with the, or not even just the Republican Party when it comes to this, the Democrats is what they did to the third party candidates like the Green Party and the Constitution Party. What they did to them about their ballots, you know, I mean, not their ballots, their signatures, so they could get on a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that, you know, a lot of conservatives on that point, and even independents, you know. So, and that's part of, you know, where do we go from here? What do we look at for 2014? You know, I mean,
we need to head off to Africa. You and I should head to Africa and start a militia. And save the baby whales. I mean, baby elephants.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're not gonna find very many whales.
We could start our own damn country.
Well, you know, if we had enough money, we might be able to do that. But I do see someone wanting to chime in on the call. So we have a 937 calling into the line, and I think that might be a Ohio number. I'm not sure if that's an Ohio area code or not. But two rolls. That I will open it up. It's either that or someone who I think it is, but I think a 937 might be Ohio. But anyway, I digress. There's two rules, as we have no profanity in the show and respect the guests and the audience. So 937, I'm opening up your mic to give your name, your location, and what's on your mind.
You know, Robert, this is Don Schrader. I'm the...
Hey, Don.
Constitution Party chairman for the state of Ohio, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'm used to another area code when I see your number. I normally see 330, I believe.
Yes, that's because for the state number, I actually have a I got a VoIP phone, and it's the 330 number is for the Constitution Party for the state of Ohio.
Okay, great. So, okay, yes, that's the number I would call. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Sure. So anybody that wants to call me as part of the Constitution Party, they can call the 330-400-3444 number.
Okay, great. Yes, and I still got the card. And while I have you on here, I've been meaning to call you, actually, and thank you for the articles that you sent to me about the energy, the alternative energies. I really appreciate that, and that information.
I was hoping you'd enjoy that as part of the green
definitely.
Energy.
Definitely, very much. Thank you very much for sending this to me.
Well, as far as the topic for tonight, there's two sides of this, and one is why did Romney lose, but more important, what are we going to do about the future?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, I don't know if you saw this from John Tate, who's president of the Campaign for Liberty, who seems to be pretty well tied with Ron Paul as well as Rand.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the point, and maybe you've heard other numbers, that there were 12 million fewer voters showed up for the polls in this year than in 2008.
Yeah, I've heard 11, but that could be, those are rough figures.
You know, give or take.
Right out of the polls. Yeah.
A few million here. So your point that you were talking about earlier, where you've been accused, and certainly I've been accused of by, many people, including my own family, of, worried that we were going to throw the election to Obama. If you take a look at how many votes Virgil Goode got or Gary Johnson or any of those versus how many, if you look more on the liberal side and the Green Party and those kinds of things, probably taking away from Obama, it's about a wash. But if you look at 12
mm-hmm.
million, 11 million, however you want, even 3 or 4 million that stayed home because they just didn't want to vote for either one of those and didn't know about or are unwilling to, and of course you have, as we've talked about before, everybody from the NRA to the big political pundits and talk show hosts who are nothing but shills for the Republican Party. But, I think that people were fed up and they didn't know about us or didn't feel we were credible enough to come over or whatever.
Right.
And so they stayed home. And I think that probably had as big a reason. And now then, you got all the pundits coming out talking about how, well, it wouldn't make much difference. It's kind of interesting. People, even on the, very conservative side now saying, well, it really wouldn't have made much difference if Romney had been elected because he's so much like Obama that you really wouldn't tell the difference in the long run.
No.
Amazing.
Well, actually, and in some ways, he would almost be more dangerous because people would drop their guard and he'd have a full
mm-hmm.
house, which controls the purse strings, to do whatever he wants. And I think people don't understand how dangerous this guy really was.
Yeah, well, if anybody read my editorials, they'd find out that I was pointing that out. And, of course, people didn't want to believe what I was saying because what they wanted to believe, they were voting for what they wanted to believe. Talk about you're voting for hope and change or hope for change.
Yeah.
They were voting on what they hoped he would be, not what he was. And particularly everybody from, as I talked to you in the last time, the NRA, I've since sent in my, revoked my membership, lifetime membership in the NRA because of their support of Romney, unfettered support, just ridiculous support.
It was disgusting. I read an article, and my son gets a ton of magazines because he's fully vested, ex-military guy and all that stuff. And I picked up one of the sub-magazines, kind of like
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, it was a handgun magazine. I was going through it, and they had this big spread, in the middle of Romney and the head of the NRA, all buddies, Mr. Lifetime membership that just bought it last year. And
mm-hmm.
I was disgusted. I was disgusted that people would buy into that crap.
The Ohio Right to Life endorsed Romney. That was shocking. I could not believe. That was shocking. The Ohio Right to Life endorsed Romney. And this is also while you still had some true conservative, true pro-life, anti-abortion candidates still running.
Well, Virgil Goode was on the ballot, and he's been a pro-life candidate all his life and has always received the highest ratings. And, that's a plague of the Constitution Party, pro-life from conception to natural death.
Wow.
And, you know, and it's just like with the NRA. You know, it's one thing if they would have said, okay, but they won't even talk about a third party. I mean, they'll only talk about the two parties. If you talk to, and I've tried to get them in Buckeye Farms and those kinds of places, you know, and they just say, well, they don't have a chance, so we're not gonna endorse them. Rather than being true to the principles they claim that they are, and that is that, you know, that if they were true to the principles, they would have then, from the NRA standpoint, put Virgil Goode and Gary Johnson from the Libertarian Party as A or A plus.
Yep.
Romney as a C minus at best, and of course, you know, Obama at a F minus. Although if I'd have been one of Obama's advisors, I would have advised him to spend $600 and join the NRA as a life member.
There you go. That'd be yet one other thing that Obama and Romney would have had in common.
Right.
So basically, you got to do is spend $600 and they'll lie for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked at that myself. Because, you know what, I think the reason they did it is it's so partisan. You know, it's so partisan, like, oh, well, you know, he's the Republican, whether he really adheres to this or not. Since he's the Republican, he's supposed to be the opposite, you know, of the Democrats or the liberal, which we know that's not the case, and I think that's a large part of why he lost. Then, oh, well, we got to endorse Romney. It's like, well, no, it's, as you pointed out, Don, that they could have very well endorsed someone else, but because they didn't want to anger, you know, a lot of the, you know, partisan Republicans are, you know, I would have to dare say that the vast majority of card-carrying NRA members are Republican.
The old adage, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think over the next couple of years, more and more and more truth will come out behind the scenes on a lot of these things. You know, there was an article that came out midway through the primary, because he kept right before we had a debate and then a vote in a state, you know, either a primary or whatever. And right before it was time to vote, two or three name brand so-called, you know, supposedly Tea Party people jump up and endorse him right before the vote. And I watched that. And then there's this article came out, and that's where I learned that he had a super PAC. When he dropped out last 2008, he had a super PAC they formed, and then somebody tied all these people to that super PAC. I mean, they've been planning this for years, you know, and I think the only reason that they failed, number one, was I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but he's a lousy candidate, you know, who can't talk straight about anything. I mean, the guy was flip-flopping in the same sentence in some interviews, but he's a lousy candidate, but he pissed off a lot of people. And they stomped on the Ron Paul people. I mean, they, as Newt supporters, we felt that they stomped, you know, that he had been really mistreated pretty bad. But compared to what they did to the Ron Paul delegates, you know.
I think
so,
that's,
you know,
well,
I mean, when you have,
at home.
Go ahead. Well, when you have Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, they didn't even get to speak at the damn function. They built this party. Sarah Palin is one of the top people that handed them the 2010 sweeping wins across this country with the Tea Party movement. She was out there day in and day out making that happen, and those people didn't even get to speak. And people can come to us after he has lost and look at us and go, it's your fault? Excuse me?
Right. And we knew this was going to come, because once Romney got crowned or coronated, we knew that, well, okay, well, it's going to be another 4 years of Obama. You know, probably less, you know, of course, more folks would have rallied behind the Liberty candidates, you know, such as a Virgil Goode or Jill Stein. But, of course, we know how that turned out. And I believe that, and I actually had someone say, well, you know, all the alternative parties together only got about 4% of the vote collectively. You know, well, what does that tell you about the possibility of success for third parties in America? And I said, you know, I said, I think third parties could be more successful in America if folks wake up and realize the fear tactics that were used, especially in this election. I think it was fear of another 4 years of Obama that caused folks to not go a third party, at least folks who, you know, vote, at least in part, you know, for folks who voted for Romney that didn't really
didn't like him,
support him, right, or believe in him. And actually, if you think about it, it's probably most Republicans. I mean, during the primaries, I spoke to a ton of people, and there was not one person, I mean, who said that they liked Romney. You know, at first they said, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we like him, blah, blah, blah. But then upon further inspection, they, you know, they conceded and admit, well, you know, I know he's not conservative. I know he's moderate. And then they try to, you know, try to justify saying, oh, well, what we do is we need to have a moderate to run and not a conservative because, you know, we can't shift this boat 360 degrees. We got to do it, you know, slowly or else we'll just tear the nation apart. And, you know, just, of course, they're just rationalizing, you know, for that. But I think the fear tactics done by both the Republicans and the Democrats, and, of course, especially the Republicans, is what really was really effective this time. But I think once the folks start realizing what those tactics really are, I think third parties could really make a bigger stand or stronger stand, much like Perot did when he ran for president.
We've got to get debates, Don. This is something I was talking about last night when Randy was on, your buddy Randy. We've got to get some debates running through the process and not just at the end, because that second nation debate would have been awesome because they really dug in and asked a lot of questions. Well, half the debate was toast. You know, we didn't even get it, you know, out on the Internet. And the fair and equal debate was kind of okay. At least it was a little bit more, you know, a little shinier, a little better technology. But there were six questions asked, and three of them were liberal issues. You know, but we've got to get – I mean, Robert, you and I talk about this all the time. You and I have asked more serious questions from the people we've interviewed than I've seen any of the debates.
Oh, I agree. I think so.
And,
I think that might sound
maybe,
biased to
maybe
folks.
Maybe we need to build. Well, no. I've got the documents. If people want to read the notes, you know, we built these Q&A sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I pulled them off my group now, but we've done 12, 15 interviews. That's the kind of debates people need to hear. You know, when Virgil Goode stood up there and started talking about the trade, you know, the free trade, the lie.
Right.
Of the free trade deals, and we got in depth on that. That's what people need to hear. That's never talked about. So we need that platform of information out sooner. Need these third parties to be working together and getting together and working together and getting this information, you know, the platform built, because we've got the Internet. Screw the news. They're never going to help you. Or, you know, the major networks. We've got the Internet. We know how to make it happen, and we need more of it sooner this time. Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah, that's one of those things that we've got a national meeting coming up at the end of this month, and I will be there. And I've already told Randy I'm coming with both barrels blazing because it's time. We've got to do some things whereby we can become credible. We need to take advantage of some things that go around the mainstream media, and I think one of those big ones is the Internet. We need to learn how to really take advantage of that through things like this, through the blog talk, get the word out to people. And, you know, we need to get the word out, and when they come see us, they have to believe we're credible. And those are the two things that we really have to work on. And I'm working those in the state of Ohio right now. I think we're moving. It doesn't come easy, and it doesn't come rapidly. And it's one of those things you can't just go out and tell people about it, and they'll suddenly join. They have to, when they come, they've got to see, and, you know, they don't want to be first. They're going to come when everything's in place.
And when will it be where folks can start collecting signatures for, we've talked about many times on the show since the election that people need to start acting quickly. And I know there's, of course, there's, you know, rules that say, okay, when states should be started, you know, collecting signatures and things of that nature. So, I mean, I guess you literally couldn't do it the day after the election. But where does that stand in Ohio? And are there any candidates in mind? I'm not trying to make this an interview, but are there any candidates in mind that's being set up for 2014 for the Constitution Party?
At this point, we have a few, but to be honest about it, I just yesterday submitted the new set of bylaws so that people can look at, because to be honest about it, our bylaws just weren't functional. And so I had to totally rewrite them. I mean, it gets down to that level sometimes, unfortunately, and we've just now got, you know, a bank account and that kind of stuff where we can go out, and as of this next week, we'll be telling people you can now join, you can now, you know, pay your dues. There's a set of bylaws that you can figure out what this party intends to do, how we're going to operate, how we're going to function. You want to become a county, you want to become a county
commissioner.
Yeah. Our district manager, you know, county chairman, a district chairman, anything like that, it's in there. You can figure out what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, how you relate to the state. You want to become a state committee member. Those kinds of things are there now so that we can go out and tell people to try to do that. And we've got to build that so that those people then go out and start building candidates. And be honest about it, yeah, I've got some people that are interested in running in 2014. I want to be sure that they're also going to reflect well on the party. So that's
right.
The next. But so, you know, it's. I think we'll have a number of candidates. And really, what I want to do next is also start strategizing, so that we aren't just taking on the impossible, but that we're taking on some of the ones that we can start winning, even in local and some of the more down-ballot elections. But some of those things, we can start building credibility. People begin to believe in us and see us run, you know, whether we run somebody against Kasich in 20, you know, the problem with that is we could go out there and we can get some name recognition, but how much money are we going to expend on losing cause?
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Is there a thing set up where people can donate to the Constitution Party in Ohio at this point?
Yes, we now have it, and they can go to the website, and they can now join. They can, you know, we have three different memberships. There's an individual for $25, so it's not that expensive. We don't, you know, we're not trying to gouge anybody. We're just trying to get a commitment to show that they want to be part of what we're doing. You can get a married couple membership for $40, or we even have a full-time student membership for $15. And that's on there. We've got the PayPal finally set up so that they can do a PayPal and, you know, be a credit card type of thing, or they can send a check to our post office box, P.O. Box 5, Eaton, Ohio, 45320. And they can fill out the membership thing and send it that way, or they can do it online now.
You know, I know one thing that's big, at least in my neighborhood that I live down here, is you know, I see a lot of politicians, like at, you know, summer festivals and things of that nature, or they might even have a booth at like one of the festivals in which I don't know if they have a booth, but they have people, you know, passing around literature and things of that nature.
Well, one of the things, you know, the strategy I have in mind is that what we're going to do is, first, you know, I had to get this, and I have people that are interested in being county chairman. And so the thing is to get county chairman and then help them understand how to get to these places, because that's exactly where we need to get to. And I've made that point, is that, you know, there's all kinds of county, little county fairs or county, you know, up here we've got the Apple Festival, we've got the Black Walnut Festival, we got the Pork Festival. You know, we need to be engaged in those places where we're talking to people, and we've got, I think, a good brochure that explains very quickly, a trifold that can be easily handed out to people and let them know about the Constitution Party. They can get the website. There's a lot of good things on the website, both educational and about the party and that type of thing. And, you know, it's cpofohio.org, Constitution Party, cpofohio.org. And there's a lot of good stuff. I've now started several people have said, yeah, I'm going there and having my kids, you know, go through some of the stuff that's on there for the educational purposes. I'm talking to some various high school teachers that are wanting to teach the Constitution, helping them get to the website, that type of thing. So a lot of things like that. But I think the real key now is to start getting the county leaders, and the county leaders and district leaders then will be the ones responsible for going out and recruiting people for the various office positions.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're really looking
right now for county chairman, and we've got several counties that are already, people expressed interest in being county chairman. We divided the Ohio, and I guess I'm taking your time to talk about Ohio, but...
Now go ahead. I'm from Ohio.
into six districts, so that, you know, we don't have too many districts and get started, and then later we may divide those into further districts as we get built up. But really we're looking for county chairman and district chairman now, and they can contact me, and we've got several people interested in county chairman. I had a guy write me from Hawaii. He's in the Army. He's coming back home after retiring, and he wants to get involved, and he's down
for
Benton County type of thing. So, you know. And the other good thing was we log how many people go into the website. It's kind of interesting. When I first kind of got started this last summer, June, we were running about 14 hits on the website. Then the next month we doubled that. Next month we doubled that. Next month we doubled. This after the election we had like almost 1,000 hits.
Well, yeah, what about colleges? Because I know like places such as Xavier University, they have the, you know, like the College Republicans or Young Republicans, and of course on the flip side Democrats as well. So is there going to be any efforts for like getting an organization such as that in the colleges?
Absolutely. Actually, Randy's been spearheading that one, and you know,
yep.
Randy Stuffelbein.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's kind of been spearheading the college side, and my goal has been more the high school side. And I've talked to several of the, high schools, and I've started strategizing how to get the young people at the high school level really to understand the Constitution, understand what a constitutional government would look like, get them involved in studying aspects of the Constitution and applying that to today and why this doesn't look like the Constitution and what it would do. And the whole idea is that starts building these young people so that they understand what we're talking about when we talk about the Constitution Party and a constitutional government. And as they move then into the college ranks, they start filling out those college young Republican that Randy's working on. So we're kind of working arm in arm to try to do that. We've also looked at those that are college age but aren't in college. You know, that's another group that can get bypassed by that group. But
that's true, too.
And really the idea is that with the young Republicans young constitutionals within the high school, we're trying to teach them. We're not doing so much recruiting, you know, get them to understand, and they'll become that force to be reckoned with, whereas kind of in the college you do a little more trying to get them to go out and recruit and so forth. So, you know, there's kind of a strategy here, I hope, that starts in high school and builds to the colleges and in the young people's ranks that aren't in college but are college age, but they're out in the workforce. And, you know, we don't want to forget those. I've got a young man up in Ohio that's interested in doing that. So.
Well, I know in the, at least in Hamilton County, although it did go blue, it went blue for Obama, I know there are a lot of, at least I would think they're more conservative schools here, at least in the area that it's the Greater Catholic League. And so I would presume that they'd be more conservative. At least the high school I went to, of course, that was too long ago to admit that they may be open to something of what you just described.
Yeah, I thought about that. Most of my grandchildren are homeschooled, but they have like a Friday co-op where they go. And one of the things I was going to do is like offer for the co-op to go down and teach the Constitution stuff to them. And they would probably be more open to doing that for an hour on, you know, various Fridays. And then I thought about, you know, the private schools. I've got a couple of grandkids that go to a private school over in Richmond, a private Christian school. So I think that those kinds of schools are going to be more open to it, although I've had a good discussion with some government teachers, both in the Hamilton area and in the Columbus area, and they're interested, and you know, I'm going to be following up with them as well. So they're in the public schools.
And these type of grassroots, from the ground up movements is what's going to be very important, in my opinion, for 2014, because we've seen what the duopoly has done to America so far. And I'm going to stick with the saying that, you know, if you continually do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've already got. And so if we continue on with, you know, with this duopoly and just, you know, staying in the Republican-Democrat paradigm, I don't think much is going to change here in America. And actually, I'm trying to get a hold of a gentleman who is an expert in Irish politics and talk about their multi-party system that we have. Just left him a message yesterday and waiting on a return back for him to come on. It'll be a brief discussion. Unfortunately, he won't be able to be on too long, he said. But who knows, maybe I'll be able to talk him into being later to describe, because there's definitely a lot to learn about multi-party systems. Now, I know a lot of folks are like, well, that's un-American. We've had just two parties for, throughout our history. The American system is a two-party system. And I think that's another reason why third parties may have a harder time, is because it's been so ingrained in the American psyche, at least their political psyche, that, you know, America is just a two-party system. But, you know, people point out the Republican Party was the third party, took over the Whigs. But I think that's another thing that's going to have to change in order for us to move forward and get more traction for these, you know, alternative, the grassroots, what I like to call We the People parties.
Well, Robert, I was going to say, I just finished up writing a blog, that's called Now is the Time. And basically, I think now is the time for a viable third party. Of course, I think that's the Constitution Party. But, you know, there's a lot of reasoning behind it, including, I think, what you're going to see happen in this next few months. Given what John Boehner said, and the thing is that, again, it's the shame of it is that you have people who are saying that they want constitutional government, but yet they'll fall into the problem of just following after the duopoly rather than standing for principle and say, I'm going to break with that. If everybody, it's the old thing. And I'm sure you've heard Randy say the same thing. If all the people said a third party won't work and all that, but we really want constitutional government, would, come over to the Constitution Party and support constitutional government, we would have an extremely viable third party, and it would be making a difference. And how we get there is the problem.
And Chris, would you like to chime in on any of that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just reading some stuff as you guys are talking. First thing that went through my head.
We all do that here. Go ahead, Chris.
The first thing that went through my mind when Don was talking a minute ago was the educational component. And we talk about this all the time, but Randy, I think he really understands this, is that, and he's actually done it, with his blog radio and his other radio networks and things like that, but he does classes on the Constitution. Here's the thing that I've been saying as a kind of a newcomer to the whole third-party concept is that if you teach people about the original intent, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, how our country was formed, when it went foul, right up through the Civil War into the, production of the Fed and the 16th-17th Amendment, you educate people. You don't have to tell people
who to vote for after that, because once they get it, all they got to do is look and use that as a pattern when they look at their politicians that are available to them out there. You know, the knowledge sets you free, and the wisdom that you gain from that education changes your whole outlook on how you perceive what politicians are saying, you know, the things that the Republican Party is doing that violates the Constitution. You know, that changes the world, that educational component. And it's a non-threatening mean. You know, if you go in there and you're trying to tell people, well, you need to vote for the, you know, you need to become a member of the Constitution Party, you need to be this and do that and do this and do that, you know, you get into that sales game and you either get a yes or a no. You either get compliance or you get somebody who throws up their guard and they run away. And so I think it's really important, you know, that educational component. Now, as you guys build this network across the country, whether it be Robert's show or Randy's show or some of these young, you know, new constitutionalists that are savvy to building, social networks, getting on their own shows like Joshua's doing, you know, things like that, and you build that network, that becomes an extremely powerful tool. The Ron Paul organization used all these mediums, you know, building YouTube videos.
Twitter's getting big,
you know,
too, yeah.
And the social networking, and they were able to move and educate their people. You know, one of the things that was just so impressive that I noticed when I started investigating the Ron Paul movement was that if you went into their website and you were in Ohio or you were in Oregon or Washington or whatever, you went to a site and it told you how to get where your meetings were at, how to get involved, how to become a delegate, what the rules were. Everything was on there, and their machine was in place so that the passion of the people didn't stumble over lack of knowledge. It was an amazing thing to witness that. Very important for winning in a volunteer organizational game.
And that's where, you know, we're trying to do
that. Go ahead,
Don. Educate these young people, because, you know, we're not gonna change a lot of minds of people 50 and older. And, you know, if we do, that's great. But, you know, where the radicals won it back in the 60s was they educated the young people and gave them a hope that, you know, it was a false hope, unfortunately, but, you know, a hope for the change. What we have to do is reverse that, and it's going to take some time, but, you know, we've got to do everything we can in the meantime. I'm not just trying to say we aren't going to recruit people from that are 50 and older or 45 or whatever or 30, but, you know, I think the long term is we have to get the kids educated, and like you say, it's non-threatening. I'm not saying become a constitutional party. I'm saying let's learn what the Constitution is. I don't have to worry about it. If they understand what the Constitution is and what it would do for them and what the party stands for in terms of the Constitution, they'll gravitate to it without, you know, us having to go get them.
Yep. I agree.
Right, and you've heard that, you know, of course, you know, education is key, and getting, you know, I mean, I was actually, one thing, and it's parents, too, and it's the young kids, because I remember at Halloween night, of course, parents talk about politics, especially this time around, and I was talking to one of my daughter's friends, and she was, you know, you would thought she was a little Romney zombie, the way she was talking. I mean, here's this little 10-year-old Romney zombie. But it's from hearing it from their parents. And I think not only, of course, you know, children to be, you know, educated in the Constitution, but I think adults ought to be re-educated, you know, because that's a bad connotation to it. But I mean, but they need to be, in a way, re-educated, as a saying, of the Constitution, because, for one, they're just not teaching it the way they are or the way they used to. And two is, I don't think a lot of folks really have a working understanding of the Constitution, because frankly, it's because they just don't hear about it. I've been following politics since I was 10. I'm 41 now, and in those 30 years I've been following politics, I've rarely, to be honest, heard about the Constitution. Which now that, you know, we're having these conversations and having this dialogue now, I find that awfully strange that that is actually the case.
Well, most people think of being when they say they're for constitutional government, it's kind of like operating by Robert's Rules of Order. It's what they think that it says, not what it actually says, and they think it's applied the way they want to apply it, not the way it needs to be applied in a true sense.
There's no doubt. I mean, when I look at what I've learned of the Republican Party in the last 10-plus years of my life, as I started really waking up and getting more involved and putting it under a microscope, I've seen as much or more abuse of the Constitution and their power as I have on the Democrat side. I think once you get past it, you're okay with it, and you just have you're just at a different point in your life. But it was definitely an emotional turmoil to realize mm-hmm. that how ignorant I had been, or trusting I had been, and ignorant, you know, because it wasn't stupid. It just wasn't a common knowledge. You know, it's amazing that the ruling document of our land is not common knowledge to everybody. You know, we hear about it, we see a picture of it, we see a picture of the Bill of Rights in the museum, and we go, yeah, that's it. That says I'm free. Yeah, right.
You know, that's exactly the problem, you know, and you're right. I mean, look who brought us the Unpatriot Act and the Department of Homeland Security and everything like that, you know. And I begged Bush and Boehner not to put that in and, you know, not to do that because of what it was going to do to us, the threat to our freedoms and the threat to our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was just going to make a point on something. I can't remember what that is. Chris, yeah, you were making a point the other day. That's what I was recalling. Is you were talking about Nixon and what Nixon put forward. You know,
yeah, like the EPA, which was the whole foundation. I was doing some research on that, Robert and Don, and there was a lot of people were freaking out at what he was doing, because he was making a political move, you know, to set in all these new rules and regulations and set up this new department that had control of all these rules and regulations for a popular idea of cleaning up the environment and industry in America and things like that. But there was a lot of people screaming from the rooftops going, this is an absolute overreach of our constitutional powers. You can't do this. It's the beginning of the end. Hell, now we got Agenda 21. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, actually, someone sent me a video about, and thank you, Arlene, and thank you to Kim for passing that along. I will take some time to view that, because I know we've discussed Agenda 21 here on the show, especially on the Green Thursday nights, which I'd like to get back to, which covers environmental issues such as environmental protection, conservation, and sustainability, but seen through the lens of conservatism. So, but you bring up the EPA, but also remember there was another one that's near and dear to our hearts, and I say that tongue in cheek, and that is Planned Parenthood. He also, Nixon also started Planned Parenthood as well.
What's this stuff? Have you guys seen this stuff about somebody posted this thing, Obama to write new constitution, and they're, have you seen that article?
No, I have not, but it's kind of like, but I want to, real quick, Christopher, move that, I want to bring on, you know, all this stuff reminds me of the analogy. I was actually reading an article today in a new magazine I got. My daughter was selling magazines for her school, and I bought one, and wasn't more than one, but Orion magazine. We'll see. It just said it covered environmental issues, so we'll see. What it says, but one of the things we talked about today was the story about the frog in the boiling water. You turn up the water slowly, and it just, you know, ends up just letting itself boil to death. It's kind of like what things have been happening to the freedoms and to the Constitution, to America and its citizens, that this has been taking so slow over time that I think people are just getting used to it, and they're just like, oh, that happened? Okay. You know, and then they move on, and then they pay attention to the rest of the mundanity of life. You know, so these things happen slowly over time, and people are just like, it's just letting it happen. You know, it's just been, you know, so slow and gradual that, you know, I think they've become, you know, used to it without actually realizing what's actually happening.
Well, we're also caught up somewhat in our lives and with the importance of what's going on that we don't have time for what's truly important sometimes. And, you know, we're not willing to take the stand that we need to take a look at the TSA whole thing. You know, we get mad and aggravated when we get maybe stopped in line or something like that. But we've become complacent to the fact that, well, this is just the way life is. And, you know, there are those of us out there fighting for the fact that, you know, this is violating our constitutional rights. And every time I go through I still have to go through because sometimes I have to travel for business. And it's unfortunate. I'll drive before I'll fly if at all possible because I don't want to put up with that. But at the same time, you know, when I go through, I usually give them the Sig Heil. Most of them have no idea what I'm talking about, but.
I know what you mean.
But, I mean, you know, we've become, in that sense, kind of just, well, this is the way life is, and we just accept it. And we've lost that freedom fight that, you know, made this country great, that would not have put up with that at one point.
Right. And because I think, as I said earlier, I think folks, you know, were more aware, I would say, as early as, now this might not sound early as to some, but I'd say as early as 40 years ago, that, and maybe a little bit, you know, maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, were more aware of things like that if it were to happen to the Constitution, you know, but not so much anymore. You know, the culture in America is so changed where, you know, you have to concentrate so much now on just trying to make it, you know what I mean?
Right.
The American dream still lives. It's not as, it doesn't live, and its heart's not as beating as strong as it used to. But it still lives. But it takes a lot more now to achieve and maintain the American dream than it once did.
Well, because we have, you know, and the reason is that. The reason for that is because we've done it to ourselves by wanting all the security and have everything given to us, you know, in a broad perspective, the same as what happened to the Romans. And it's kind of interesting. I got a friend of mine that he came from Czechoslovakia. He was there during the Soviet Union. He was conscripted into the army there. He finally got away. So delighted to come to the United States where he could get away from what was going on, and he's scared to death now when he's seeing what's happened in this country in the last few years. He says he just never believed it could happen. He, you know, he got here because this is the land, you know, the home of the land of the free, home of the brave, that kind of thing. You know, this was America, and he's just like devastated in ways to watch what's happening based on what he knows has happened in his own country.
Yeah, I've heard that from many people. I even heard that decades ago from friends of mine who had gotten out of Russia by the skin of their teeth, you know, back then when we didn't think it was that bad yet. When we actually, when the government overstepped some little thing when we used to get upset. You know, the speed that with which the federal government is taking over, you know, states' sovereignty and laws and
changing things. You know, the speed of it has accelerated. You know, it used to be an item here, an item there, an item here, and there was outrage every time they did it. At least there was some kind of a fight. You know, now they move 10, 15, 20 items at a time, and people aren't even paying attention. You know, they're numb to it. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Well, because they're busy watching, you know, scrambling to get home from a hard day at work, and I understand that. But then they want to scramble and hurry up and eat dinner and then turn on, you know, the Dancing with the Stars or the what I call the non-reality reality shows, you know, such as Survivor, which I used to love to watch that show. But now, I mean, he's got time for TV. But... You know, but they're so engrossed at all when now I get to come home and, you know, relax after a hard day's work. And I understand that. I understand that. But it's also important to keep apprised of what's going on. And I think that's where the so-called conservative media really took advantage of the conservatives, of the people, in that instead of doing their own research, which, you know this, Chris, we really, promote folks to do, is that they just decided, you know, them just talk about, you know, a lot of the masses, at least, you know, with conservatives, is that instead of, you know, doing the research themselves and really vetting these candidates, they relied on folks such as Sean Hannity, and I did it for a while, too. I was just as guilty as anyone else, you know, so I can't say that, you know, I'm not without guilt there, but I've seen what happened with Newt Gingrich, and that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. But they had, you know, they relied too much on getting the information from so-called conservatives like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Fox News, who are Republican before they are conservative. But that's what's happened, and that's led us, you know, in part at least when it comes to the conservatives being in the position we are now. Look, you know, this party, which is the Republican Party, which we thought was the party of principles, we're starting to learn, or at least, well, I've learned, but others are starting to learn that that's not necessarily the case, and that maybe these folks who we relied on for so long to give us the conservative view aren't really doing us, they're actually doing us a disfavor. They're not telling us all the truth, so it's time to become more active in doing our own research into candidates and events and, you know, and other things. So, Don or Chris, any chime in about anything on that? Or we'll leave it to Don and then go ahead and then Chris.
I absolutely agree. Of course, I can no longer listen to Sean or Rush or Mark Levin, you know, because they try to claim conservatism, but yet they've just become shills for the Republican Party, and, you know, their endorsement of Romney was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll try to claim that they criticize the party, but they do it just enough to try to make themselves seem to be credible. But, you know, and there are a lot of people that just follow along, but, you know, it's one of those things where we typically are not a nation of ideas. I've said this many, many times. We're not a nation of ideas. We're a nation of power and position. And, you know, too many people, it's hard to get them to think. We haven't taught kids in school. My sister teaches or has been a teacher for many years, points this out as well, that, you know, we haven't taught kids how to think critically. Critical thinking is not something people do well. And, you know, sometimes it takes a wake-up call for them to start saying, oh, I got to quit, you know, everything Sean Hannity says is not maybe true. You know, Sean Hannity is a yellow-bellied, to me, sapsucker of some kind. I mean, he's does things, he doesn't stick to principle half the time. I've got example after example after example, but, you know, people just think he's a great American because he goes on the show and says, oh, you're a great American, and they go back and go, oh, you're a great American. Okay, great, you know. But I've gotten where, you know, I'll sometimes be traveling and I'll turn something, Rush or Sean on for just to see if I can stomach it, and usually I can't handle it more than about 3 minutes and I'm off.
Well, speaking of lies, I got a 27 second audio clip that I'll play with someone, of course, as soon as you hear his voice, you'll know who it is. But this was an outright lie that was told to, actually in the long term, help Romney get the nomination, or should I say coronation.
By the way, folks, just I have to remind you again that Gingrich debated John Kerry on global warming at one point, and they agreed on practically every point. Nobody is innocent. Everybody is guilty of some transgression at somewhere against conservatism, except Santorum. See you tomorrow.
There you have it, gentlemen. And that was, and the timing of that was important as well, because he said that on the show of the day of the Florida primary. He said that at the very end of his show on the day of the Florida primary.
Hmm.
Do you recall that, Chris?
No, you know what? I did not hear it, but I've heard it played after, you know, recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they had massive timing of multiple things come out against Newt after he kicked butt and took names in South Carolina. Yeah, you know, that was about the end of my association with Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, the rest of them. You know, I was still listening and watching, but coming out of Florida, it was so blatantly obvious what they did, and that just about was the end for me. That changed my life, you know. I was piecing a lot of things together. I didn't like some of the stuff I heard. You know, the initial part of it, it almost seemed like everybody was up there, had their fair chance, the debates, the conversation. Of course, they blacked out Ron Paul. You know, like
mm-hmm.
if Ron Paul came in second in a poll, they would tell you the first, third, and fourth person. I mean, little subtle things like that. But a lot of people that kind of rolled over when you were just starting to absorb the information and watching the debates and trying to get a handle on how the primary worked and, you know, just in that information gathering stage. But I think by the time South Carolina hit and then Florida, I think that's where a lot of us went, you got to freaking be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my instincts were telling me something was wrong, and it just happened, and it happened in front of my face, and it was obvious, it was blatant. You know, by Florida, everybody had geared in, you know, to destroy Gingrich. Didn't matter,
right.
You know, and Ron Paul. Hell, they made that decision long, you know, way before that, because like I said,
he was marginalized very early on.
Hell, he won Maine. He came in second in a straw poll in Iowa. I mean, like, you know, they didn't even say his name, you know, and then there was election fraud, and they rolled over it as fast as humanly possible, you know, some imaginary snowstorm. Bull crap. And I saw the videos of a guy that was in the caucus saying I called in and they had the wrong numbers and they told me to jump in a lake, you know, from counties at Ron Paul. And so and it rolled so fast. It was one of those things that if you weren't paying attention, you know, you would have missed it. And I was paying attention. I didn't miss it. So by Florida, I went, yep, they're going to use Santorum to defeat Gingrich. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I knew that.
They had to split the conservative vote. That was the ploy, you know,
yeah.
Since the beginning was the and Fox News was complicit.
Oh my God, they were disgusting. They were disgusting. Yeah, so you know, and I guess probably to Don and Randy. Randy laughs at us because we're you know it's new revelation to us, and he's like going, "Yeah, right. Seen it for years. About time you guys got caught up." I'm sure Don's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. You know, sometimes it takes some kind of epiphany to finally, you know, kick in that critical thinking. And those things, I mean, you know, it takes it for all of us. I'm not, you know, taking myself out of that. There are times I as much as anybody, like a lot of us in the Constitution Party, you know, I wanted to believe that the Republican Party was going to be what I hoped it was going to be. I mean, I did that for a long, long time. I would continually tell them that, you know, being a conservative, I would try to point out being conservative was not being against somebody, but it was being for a set of principles, and I never could quite seem to get that to stick. And, you know, I told that to Boehner, I told that to whoever, all kinds of people. And, you know, but one of those things that it is where you finally just come and you realize, and that's where a lot of people need to come to, yeah, is realizing they're not going to change the basic Republican Party. Unfortunately, no matter how much you really want that to be the case, it ain't going to work.
Right. Well, because, you know, you realize they've actually been trying to get a moderate Republican elected in the presidency for a very long time. And I said this before during the primaries was that, you know, I think that would have been the death knell of the conservative influence on the national stage, at least when it came towards going to the presidency, if Romney would have won, because then the moderate and liberals in the Republican Party could go to the conservative base and say, look, you know, we've just proven to you we do not need you anymore because we could win, you know, in elections without you. Well, of course, we've seen that that wasn't the case.
Is that why they're running around telling everybody, the conservatives and Ron Paul people, they were assholes and they caused us to lose the election after they told us that they didn't need us anymore? That was a pretty good move on Karl Rove's part.
Well, okay. Well, real quick, I want to address something that I've seen in the chat. That someone put in the chat, needs to be a social moderate. Romney, okay, listen, guys, I'd really like for folks to speak on this. Romney was a social conservative. If the gentleman or gentle lady, the name in the chat is ambiguous as to what the gender would be. But if you'd like to call in and to explain, fake social conservative. Okay, talk like one. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. I was going to say if you'd like to call in at area code 347-945-7428. And, of course, if anyone would like to call and chime in, we have about 39 minutes of live time. So if you'd like to call in at area code 347-945-7428, chime in and be heard. Go ahead. So, Chris, Don, I didn't mean to interrupt you gentlemen. So go ahead. I just wanted to address that in chat because I couldn't believe my eyes. But they were just being facetious, I believe. So go ahead.
What were we talking about?
Oh, I hope we did not lose Don on his line.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Chris,
what
see, that's what multitasking could do sometimes. No, I'm just joking. I do that too.
Well, you shocked me with that statement that Romney was a social conservative.
Yeah, that kind of just shocked the thought of everybody.
I'm way late on that one.
The person came back and says, I think we need a social liberal and a conservative, fiscal conservative. Don, would you like to touch on that? Why a social liberal?
Right.
And a fiscal conservative, at least
you mean
for a Republican Party.
Why you think Johnson would win if he was running in a major party? Do you think he would have won with his stances?
I believe if Johnson would have ran as a Republican, would he have won? No, I do not think he would have.
Okay, well, there's your fiscal conservative, social liberal.
Right.
I don't think if he was running as a Republican, I don't think so, because people would see. I mean, that's why moderate Republicans, whether it's fiscally or socially, do not win, because people could see someone that's disingenuous. And when you think of a Republican, your thought doesn't go to someone that's moderate, and you don't see someone, you know, or liberal. You know, it's supposed to be conservative. We know that's not the case.
Well, I'm just saying that if he had the power of a party behind him. Because he's that profile.
Well, yeah, he,
that this person was talking about in chat.
But wasn't that what Romney was coming across as? I mean, in a way.
Poorly. No, I mean, not to the degree Johnson was coming across, no.
Right.
Johnson was full-on abortion, full-on pot.
Right.
You know, legalizing pot, full-on, you know, marry your dog, or was that gay marriage, sorry. You know what I mean? He was going for the social liberal.
He was left of
the Democrats on his positions on social liberal. I think it hurt him, to be honest with you.
I think so. Well, you remember in one of the debates, he said, "I am pro everything or pro choice everything or something like that."
Well, that's why I said dog.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying about Johnson, but in reality, you know, that's exactly where Romney was running and that's where his support came from guys like Sean Hannity and so forth, because that's what Sean Hannity is. He's basically a fiscal conservative. When he says he's a conservative, he's talking fiscally. You never hear him talk about anything beyond the fiscal conservatism overall. Once in a while he'll say something, but he'll violate his principles or supposed principles and, you know, for his own personal reasons or whatever. But, you know, his whole thing is about fiscal conservatism, and that's where, you know, they supported Romney, is because he was a supposed, you know, businessman, fiscal conservative. But they didn't want to talk, like you've talked about before, about real issues. You know, let us talk about how Romney would have handled the Federal Reserve. Let's talk about how Romney would have handled, who he was going to truly appoint to the Supreme Court. I don't think he would have supported, sent an Alito to the Supreme Court. I think he would have sent a David Souter. Those are the kinds of things nobody wanted to talk about. But when it comes right down to it, his whole theme against Obama was how he was going to be better at giving jobs, bringing about jobs. And, you know, but in reality,
but
he
was
not.
That was in China, right?
Huh?
He meant China jobs.
Yeah.
But, so I would say the answer to the question was it didn't work.
No, it did not. Well, yeah, it did not work, and it didn't work. It worked very badly, you know what I mean? I mean, he got less votes than Romney got less votes than
McCain.
Yeah, thank you. I had a brain freeze there for a second. Yeah, he got less than McCain did.
Yeah, but he likes trees. That's important.
He likes what?
Trees.
Yeah, well, that is very important to like trees. I like trees.
He was going for that Wiccan vote.
Well, he didn't get mine.
Well, yeah, overall, it's always interesting that the election comes down, of course, to who can do the most to accuse. It's kind of interesting to me that the few times that actually Romney spoke the truth and made truthful statements were the ones that Obama then capitalized on in his ads about how bad Romney was going to be and said this about that. And nobody wanted to really deal with what truth is.
Well, you know, I find it interesting that very little of either one of their truth about Romney or Obama came out at all in this election. And we will never know, some distant point in the future when we all have great wisdom, or we're dead and have that kind of wisdom. But I really, there are days I just get up and go, I'm confident he was meant to lose. That was the poorest run I've ever seen in my life.
And McCain's was a very, and so was Dole's, was a very lackluster campaign. Very lackluster. Well, I don't think that Romney was set up by the Republicans to lose. I don't subscribe to that. But what I do think is that the Republicans thought that people feared and hated Obama so much that this was finally their chance to get a moderate liberal Republican elected. And I think they thought that people would, they could put up, the most liberal, the most moderate candidate that they possibly could, and he would still get, because I don't think the Republican Party likes or wants conservatives in the party. And I think they thought they could finally get rid of them, in one fell swoop with getting rid of, with a Romney election to the presidency. I think they really thought that they were going to be able to do it this time. They didn't learn from history. They didn't learn that it hasn't happened in 40 years, and those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so that's what I think their mindset was. I think the Republicans were absolutely shocked. I think watching the way they're reacting right now, trying to figure out why, Romney is lost, and you're seeing it all over the, like Fox News and things of that nature. Yeah, they're trying to figure out why. How the hell did they lose?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I totally agree with that. That they're, to me, I don't think they same up to lose. But I'm not sure it's not so much that they don't want us conservatives in any kind of form of power. They don't see us as being a viable force. Overall, they see that need for that moderate whatever, and they've shunned the Michelle Bachmans. As I pointed out, those that were the true Tea Party before the Tea Party became nothing but an arm of the Republican Party for too many times. Those people have no power in Congress. They haven't been appointed to one single committee chairmanship. They haven't been elected to any of the major positions within the party or anything like that. But I think that overall, and I kind of put this in this editorial I wrote, but I submit to you that the Republican leadership sees no reason for a change. Basically, their thing is that they believe that we conservatives are going to support them no matter what they do, and we've kind of proven that case when you look at everybody from the Sean Hannitys to the NRA to whoever else, the Rush Limbaughs and everything have just told the Republican Party, we're going to support you no matter what you do. So you just go ahead and do it. They're not going to come over and say, we're going to go, and let you guys go off and do your thing. We're going to go over here and become a third party. And all these people that want to think they're going to reform the Republican Party have become nothing but the base for the Republicans to say, we don't need to change. And I think that you won't see the Republican leadership sees no reason for a change of direction.
No, not if we've seen so far.
Constitutional conservatism.
Well, and that's a good point, because I've been trying to scan and read, but I've only had the opportunity to read a couple and scan most of the articles that have come down from the pundits, whether it was Newt or Thomas talk right now. You know what I mean? A lot of these guys, even Fred Thompson did a great article where he kind of covered a variety of these things that we're talking about. But what I'm seeing is none of them are wanting to get honest with the fact that they committed crime against delegates, duly elected delegates, to destroy the Ron Paul movement, several million youth, the youth vote and the mixed culture and the liberty movement in the party. They were out to destroy it. They feared that more than they feared Obama winning. I'm serious. I believe it, because there's no way in the world you could do that to that growing part of the Republican Party, because in 2008 they did it, but it was younger, smaller, and they weren't as organized. This time they were organized, so they had to really double down on the crime. And to think that they were going to take it, maybe a bunch of the 40, 50-year-old, so-called conservatives would roll over and flip that switch for Romney. But that youth group, they said, Well, I can't say that word on the radio, but I'm on many of those sites. I know what they said. It was what the words I'm thinking.
Yeah, it was nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing to me because I could save the Republican Party about $10 million in consulting fees. All they got to do is just pick up the phone and call me, and I'll tell them exactly who to go talk to and to poll and to ask questions on what they need to do to save the party, because it's all those disaffected poll group, because that's the youth, it's a mixed culture, it's the next generation, it's the disaffected military. He is the demographics that all these articles are talking about that Romney seemed to not get, the women, the minorities, the Hispanic vote. Ron Paul had them all
in
his tent, and they loved him.
The thing is, you're threatening their power position, and they like it. They like where they are, and they want to crush
it. It's scary because Newt Gingrich talked about this years ago. They would rather be powerful and be the minority party with a boot on their neck by the Democrats than to change. You remember Newt saying that?
Yeah. Well, I think they look at it. They lost a few races. They won a few. And so they think they're fine. And their turn's going to come in 2016. In the meantime, they're going to be mowing the fact there's nothing they can do to change things or stop Obama in the Senate. And they're but they need our money now in order to begin preparing to capture the Senate in 2014, the White House in 2016. That's going to be their thing. They're fine. They don't need.
They're going to double down on stupid. They're going to double down on stupid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
John Boehner's already said that, I think
you're right, Don. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, John Boehner's already capitulated to Obama.
Yeah,
and he's
He did it in the last 2 years. Gave him his debt ceiling increase, gave him NDAA, gave him the first funding on Obamacare. I mean, he's pretty much rolled over on everything in the last 2 years, and now he's already said Obamacare is the law of the land, and they're talking about increasing taxes. So
yep.
Boehner's already given up.
Exactly. And, you know, he didn't do a thing to oppose Obama, like you said, on anything the last 2 years. Last 4 years, he hasn't done a thing. None of the Republicans have, but, you know, overall, but and particularly Boehner has been extremely disappointing in the fact that he's done absolutely nothing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm ashamed to call him my representative.
Yeah.
He's from Ohio. It's your fault, Robert.
I know, just like it's my fault Romney lost in Ohio.
Man, I'm telling you.
Well, I guess I'll take the good with the bad.
Well, you guys had Condit up there running against him, right, Don?
Yeah, through my understanding, but that wasn't in my district. I believe that was in the 8th district. My district was District 1. Which I believe the Republican won. I actually have to take some time to look that up.
Boehner's my congressman, and he ran.
Well,
unopposed.
You guys ran Condit, didn't you? Run Condit against him up there, Don?
No, he ran unopposed.
Yeah, when I looked at the ballot, or my wife rather looked at the ballot, she didn't see anyone running against Boehner. I think he might have ran. I think Condit might have been running as a write-in against Boehner.
Yeah, but you know, overall, he wasn't listed even as a write-in. So you know, it was like Boehner was the only one.
You're kidding me. I didn't vote.
I just left it blank. I would not vote for him at this point. I would have in the past, but given what he's done the last 4 years, I can't pull the switch for him at all.
Oh well, Kasich, I would even have a hard time voting for Kasich next time around, just for his endorsement. I mean, he tried to walk away at some point from Romney in his endorsement, but he went out and he endorsed Romney while still had conservatives running in the primary.
It's all about power and position. It's not about what's best for America. What's best for America is what they whatever they want to be is keeps them in power. That's what's best for America. What's best for America is keep them in power.
Well, you know, it was interesting. But when you mentioned that, I brought up a point that I was doing some grassroots work here in Ohio for the Newt Gingrich campaign. I wasn't of an official capacity. It was just, you know, grassroots. I was Ohio grassroots phone team captain for a little while. And then when I was looking for the person after the Super Tuesday, try to find the person to be the or who was the Ohio State coordinator for the Newt Gingrich campaign. Now, not official, of course, for the grassroots campaign is what I'm talking about. And couldn't find them, so I kind of the mantle kind of fell, you know, fell on me. And during that time, I was trying to find the Indiana, because I wanted to work with the Indiana State coordinator for Newt Gingrich when their primary is coming up. And I had a conversation with her. I can't remember her name. It's inconsequential at this point. But she told me, she's like, oh, well, I'm moving over to Romney. And, you know, she's going to move over and help Romney. And this is when Newt Gingrich was still, you know, actively running in the campaign. And I said, well, why is that? And I said, you know, don't you know that? Well, no, first I said, why is that? She goes, well, I'm going to move over to the person who has the power. And that person, and I'm paraphrasing here, she said, that person is Mitt Romney. And I said, and then I reminded her of the chicanery, the lies, you know, coming out of the Romney camp and frankly, the RNC. And she goes, well, you know what? That's just how politics are.
That's
flabbergasted. Unbelievably flabbergasted. I'm like, really? We're going to have this mindset? So it's not about principles? You know, I say, you know, and I didn't, the conversation didn't last much longer after that. But I was flabbergasted. Oh, well, one, he had the power, so she was going over to him even while Newt was still running. And two, when we talk about all the lies and chicanery, she's like, that's politics. Ugh, unbelievable.
I'm a smart butt. And I would have said, well, Satan's got the power on earth here, so is that what you're for, too? I'm sorry, but I'm such a pain in the ass.
Well, I know. I talk to you every day, Chris, so I kind of realize that now.
You know, people say the
And you need to leave these baby elephants alone.
Yeah, the people say the stupidest things. And the thing is that if you step back and you listen to what they say and then you filter it, and, you know, you can almost, and a lot of times you can ask them a question. You know, you can almost be, that's even the most more powerful way to respond is saying, oh, that means you're a Satan worshiper. What? Well, you just said you're for the person with the power. So, I mean, he rules the physical earth, so that's your thing, right? I mean, you know, I don't know. People are insane. You know, their logic is twisted. They don't have a moral compass anymore. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand why we're where we're at. They haven't done the research. They don't understand how culpable the Republicans have been over the last, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 years, you know, and on their part in increasing the federal government control on our country. You know, this is all, it's been running nonstop. I mean, look at the people who helped move the Fed in the 16th and 17th Amendment. They were there too, Republicans.
They were the heart of it.
Yeah,
you know?
And wait, here's an interesting one. Who was that guy that did the Civil War and the 14th, 15th Amendment and changed the Constitution from these to thee? Who was that guy? Oh, that's right, Lincoln, right? He was a Republican,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's a new movie coming out about him. Has anyone seen any previews for that? I have not. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, the one I want to do, the Vampire Killer? The Vampire Killer Lincoln? That's...
But no, not that one. No, the other one that's supposed to be the serious one, not the vampire. That's crazy, Vampire Killer.
Come on, didn't you know?
I like vampire movies, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to see a Lincoln one. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
I'm
going
to have to go see it. After
which
what
one?
I learned about Lincoln. The vampire one.
The vampire one, okay.
Haven't you seen the previews to it? Have you, Don?
No, movies aren't my thing, okay? I think the last, you know, I've seen movies at home on DVD, but, you know, I make the point that the last time I was in a movie theater, the last movie I saw in a movie theater was Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Hey, they got the new one coming out.
Oh, not the Hunt for Red October. The one, I'm sorry, that was a different one. Never mind.
Well, actually, you know, I don't go out and see watch movies a lot, but I did go and see Taken 2 this
waste of money.
This Sunday. Well, it was my wife and I's 1 year anniversary. What we're doing is recreating our first date by going to the places we went on our first date. So it was really nice. But
it's so Ohioan.
I tell you what, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic. What can I say? But at least that's what, you know. But anyway, I digress. So, you know,
you're
on to
digressed all the time.
I digress all the time. Well, that must also be an Ohio thing, right, Don?
Sorry, Don. We don't mean to be so. We don't mean to be so goofy tonight. I think we're just exhausted.
But that's not too far from the truth, my friend. I mean. Election process. You know, we've been at this for how long?
Part of the challenge is this petition thing. You know, it's just going around and around and around and around. Now people are posting, you know, Supreme Court judges. You know, it's on the news. It's in this. So here we are, getting ready to go to war. Benghazi. Nobody's talking about it anymore. I mean, the topic of the day. You know, the voter fraud, you know, everybody was all about voter fraud. Now we're all about a petition, you know, and that's the conversation 24/7 right now. How can you educate a voting block of people to use their brain when all it takes is one little trigger, a news of the day, a rumor, a petition, and we're off. You know, run it. It's like every day, I bet those news agencies and the people in power just sit around and go, oh, this will keep the natives going for about a week. And then while they're busy doing this and listening to the news and getting all excited and passing it around social media, you know, 24/7, we'll be able to do four or five more unconstitutional moves. And they won't even know we did it. I swear, these guys just sit around and throw this stuff out, you know, almost like a think tank. What next? Okay, well, that got them going for a week. Now, we got to push this through, and the way to keep nobody from noticing is it. Let's talk about, oh, yeah, Petraeus had an affair. Okay, well, we'll throw that out there for a while. That'll keep them busy for 3 or 4 days. I mean, am I crazy? Am I the only one that sees this stuff? Don, do you see it?
Oh, absolutely. I find it interesting, like the Petraeus thing, you know, and now then, of course, what's his name there in Afghanistan, you know, and you know, is now they're trying to implicate him, and you know, this whole thing is kind of interesting. Of course, it always brings back to me Joe Ralston when he was going to be slated to be chief of staff, and they found out about an affair that he had. Remember, while he was separated from his wife. It was a one-time thing. And so he wasn't good enough to be chief of staff because of that, but that was when Clinton was in power. It's fine to be, you know, have multiple affairs and rape people and everything else. It's the president, but you can't, but don't let somebody. And I'm not condoning what Ralston was doing, neither was Ralston. I mean, you know, it was dumb on his part, but it's kind of interesting, the double standard that goes on.
Yeah, but Clinton did it in the Oval Office. That was cool.
Yeah.
Oval Office?
I'm being facetious, but you know what I'm saying? I think they can, we are at a point where reality TV, things like, you know, we now live in the end result of the programming of the MTV generation. It's all about stars. It's all about, you know, everybody's a star, football players, basketball players. It's all about their lives, reality TV. And these guys, marketing people, which are also, you know, have people, it's just like when it comes to marketing, if people don't understand this, but people, they have psychologists and sociologists on their staff. You know, they're always, I mean, listen to Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz has his career made because what he does is he focuses on words that people use. I mean, it's all cause and effect. And they just sit around and pump this stuff out every other day. That, and that's one of the things on my group, on my Facebook group, I've always said, I don't care about the news of the day because all it does is distract me. Usually it takes about 6, 7, 8, 10 days for the true information to finally filter up. You know, you got this 24/7, you know, buzz going. You got to give it about, you know, 5 to 10 days for the truth finally comes out. So you can pretty much ignore it, stay focused on the things you're trying to work on, let it all, everybody else get all buzzed out, and then in about 5, 6, 7 days we'll start hearing the truth, and then I'll read those articles, get caught up, and then I can give my input on it. But everybody's got to grab it. You know, I call it the news of the day, the crisis of the day. They grab it, and they're distracted, and they're running with it 24/7. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Go ahead, I'm done. I'm just babbling.
People Magazine, you know, you always said, you know, people in the know want to know, or whatever it was.
Inquiring Minds?
Inquiring Minds want to know. How? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's a programming process. I mean, I've been in marketing. It's a process, you know.
Absolutely.
And you have to you have to discipline yourself to stay out of it, you know. Go ahead.
But again, that's where we are. You know, that's the antithesis to critical thinking right there.
Yep.
And, you know, we want to think that's critical thinking somehow. We've convinced ourselves that kind of wanting to know is somehow equated to critical thinking.
Right.
But so we are a nation of, like I said, position and power. That's why we go ask some movie star or some sports, some athlete, some guy like that, barely finished college or just finished high school or didn't even go to high school, but because they're a big movie star or they're a big athlete or something, we want to know their perspective on politics.
Right.
We don't want to know yours,
we
want to know mine.
Three divorces later, kids all messed up on drugs. Yep. That's the guy I want to counsel with.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, I see we have 8 minutes left here on the show, and I'd like to take up the last about 5 minutes. So if there's anything you'd like to finish up on, I know lately we've been doing really extended versions, but I'll be frank with you. I haven't had dinner yet, so I'm hungry. I want to eat. So I'm just being honest, guys. But if you guys have some finishing thoughts, and of course, maybe tomorrow night we could do an extended version, because you know, Chris, we've been doing this for an hour after the show, pretty nightly lately. And Don, I invite you to come back again. Come on, it's really great to hear from you. And I'd like to talk to you at some point soon off the air as well. But, of course, if you'd like to call in again, it's really great to have you. So with the time allotted, if each one of you would like to take about a minute to give some closing thoughts, go ahead.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, Chris, I was going to say thank you for letting me butt in on your time there. And I enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, I will try to do it again sometime. I do have another job, and I've got travel I have to do, so it kind of comes and goes. But I was glad that I was able to get on tonight and enjoyed the time with both of you.
Definitely. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you calling in because we were kind of stumbling coming into the show. I wasn't as prepped as I normally am, you know, so it was kind of neat to have. And that's kind of how when we have the free flow shows, even if we plan them, this is what happens. Or Randy calls in and there we go, you know. I can tell you just from our experience of interviewing the Constitution Party people is it's been an amazing journey to be connected with you guys. You know, I know we've learned a lot. I have personally. It's changed my perspective on just about everything. You know, my research started out, I started researching the Ron Paul movement and getting exposed to things because I wanted to understand the movement. I'm kind of an organizational guy is my background. And I saw it, and I wanted to know what was going on, why it was being blacked out in the media, and why they were treated so bad. And that was the beginning of the journey. And then I trip over this, you know, I got up one day and said, well, let's go research third parties. And then we trip over the Constitution Party people and start interviewing them.
And it's been a great journey. It's been a fresh conversation. It's been a something that's given me more hope again, because, you know, there's so many days in my life that I thought, man, am I the only human being that gets this stuff? You know, and it's really neat to see that there's a lot more than just a handful of us that give a crap about our country, you know. So I appreciate you guys. Robert?
Thank you much.
Well, once again, thank you, everyone, and thank everyone who came in to listen to the show, and whether it was live or on the archives or from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, in which for the folks who are in chat, I'm getting ready to put a link in there to the website, and where you'll find that is the Get Involved page, which is I still have to do a little work on, put some links in there and things of whatnot. But what I do have there is a link that will take you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, in which for only $50 a year, you can sponsor an orphaned baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers. It's a great Christmas gift for a spouse or a friend or a child. Because I believe they just send pictures and things of that nature of the elephant that you are helping out over there in Kenya. So that would be great if people go over and check that out at some point. And there's the link in the chat. And so what I'll do is invite everyone to come again tomorrow night. And for the folks who are new and you liked what you've heard here on the show, just feel free to follow the show, which is real easy, by just going to the follow button that is under the show's archive. And I believe all that I would do is just send you reminders through emails that a live show is coming on, maybe give the title. I do not follow myself. I do not follow my own show. I think that might be a little narcissistic to do that. So I don't. So, but go ahead and check it out. And then also, lastly, since I see a little bit of time before I close out with the song I normally do every night by Aubrey Ashburn, and that's A-U-B-R-E-Y, Ashburn, A-S-H-B-U-R-N.com, where you can hear more of her music. And also check out the www.patriotjournalist.com, which is a new and growing very quickly Twitter group that is concentrated on conservative issues. And so good night, everyone. Take care. I hope to see you again. And enjoy this song by Aubrey Ashburn. Take care.